the energy transition progresses, flexibility is becoming critical, as well as the need to balance supply and demand in real time. Effective demand response strategies are increasingly on the consumer agenda as a way to generate savings and become good citizens of the grid. To learn more about demand response, its future role in our energy system, and the challenges and opportunities associated with this market, I'm joined by Sebastian Condon, Head of International Business at Voltalis. Sebastian shares his insights into demand response market trends across Europe and delves into why this automated solution needs to be people-centered to create maximum value. This episode is brought to you by Voltalis, a leading European flexibility management operator specializing in business and residential demand response. I'm Pamela Larg, and this is the Energy Transitions Podcast. Sebastian, welcome and thank you so much for joining us today. It's really a pleasure to be speaking with you about a topic that is increasingly important when it comes to our future energy system, and that is demand response. But before we get into that in more detail, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and Voltalis?
So my name is Sebastian Condon. I'm the head of the international business at Voltalis. Voltalis is an aggregator that has been founded in France in 2006, and we are the European leader for residential and commercial demand response in Europe, with a large footprint of assets that are installed in residential and commercial sites. We operate in France and in eight extra European countries. France is the biggest country for sure, and we are these days developing business in the UK. The landscape in the UK is becoming pretty favorable for independent aggregate like Voltalis.
Why is demand response so critical? What role is it playing now, and potentially will continue to play in the future?
In a nutshell, demand response or flexibility is either an enabler or a derailer of the energy transition, depending if you see the glass half empty or half full. The energy transition is about decarbonizing the grid, decarbonizing the power supply, which means more and more renewables, which is very good, wind and solar. But the renewables are intermittent, as you know. But the energy transition is also the electrification of usages. And we are transforming, we are decarbonizing our usages when it comes to heating or cooling or to mobility with electric vehicles. So on one hand, we're going to have more and more renewable power supply with the intermittency. And on the other hand, there's more and more usage of electricity. All that is creating new needs, and balancing the supply and demand in real time becomes a challenge. So flexibility is about helping managing the power grids and in their supply and demand. So I mean, couple of data points. I mean, the European Commission is seeing a need of roughly 25% of the electricity demand that needs to be made flexible. So these are real needs. We are talking about 15 gigawatts just in France. That is pretty much significant versus the supply. So yes, in a nutshell, flexibility is the enabler of the energy transition, which means that no flexibility, the grid cannot accommodate renewables and therefore perform its decarbonation. So it's super critical.
No flexibility means no energy transition. That is profound, and it certainly sets the scene for us for our discussion. Are you seeing particular trends and perhaps an increased willingness to adopt demand response strategies?
Definitely, yes. I mean, number one, flexibility is a global thing, right? So this is not a French topic. This is not a European topic. It's a global topic. I mean, the International Energy Agency is talking about 500 gigawatts of demand response needed by 2030 globally. You find this topic hot in the US, in Asia, as well as in Europe. It's an emerging and developed country topic. right? So that's number one. Portalis is an actor in the buildings sector. So we deal with buildings. We don't deal with any industrial demand response activity. Why that? Because buildings are a very good fit for our technology, as we are managing automated demand response. So at Voltalis, we believe in a high level of automation to perform a continuous service that can accommodate the renewables intermittency day in, day out. So yeah, I mean, in a nutshell, buildings have a huge potential. Flexibility is a global thing, and automation is a key enabler.
I'd like to drill down. You know, you mentioned it's a global issue. However, you are mainly operating in the French market, but you also are increasingly focused on the UK. Are there any similarities or difference between the two in terms of the strategies being employed, the influence of aggregators, or perhaps even the policy frameworks that you're working within in those countries?
So this is a very good question. Actually, France has been leading the show in our sector, in our activity, because of the nature of the market and the electrification of the usages that was very big due to the nuclear program of the 70s or the 1970s. The UK and France are fairly similar, if not completely comparable in terms of footprint and electrification, but fairly comparable in their willingness to perform this energy transition at the right pace and taking into consideration the challenges of the energy transition. And in terms of nature of the markets, they are also fairly similar in the sense that France has opened its market to independent aggregator, and I'm talking about the wholesale market, where energy produced and energy saved can be traded at the same price. The UK is opening its market, its wholesale market, to independent aggregator by at the end of this year, and Voltalis is getting ready for this date to start operating. Yes, so in this sense, UK and France are comparable, even if France is slightly in advance. Other markets will open in Europe for sure in a comparable shape to France. The rest of the world is operating in different manners, and there's a pretty wide diversity, whether you talk about the US or Asia. But still, again, demand response is a global topic that can take different aspects and different approaches. Overall, the flexibility is a need for the energy transition.
Are there any hurdles that need to be overcome as we are incorporating demand response strategies? What are your thoughts?
I think there's something to be considered starting from the need. I mean, I think we agree that the electrification of usages and the decarbonization of the grid is requiring more and more flexibility. And we are talking about hundreds of gigawatts globally. So I'm taking it from the large scale. Building such kind of big capacity is requiring capital. We need automation. Automation means CapEx and therefore capital. And at Voltalis, we see the development of those large virtual power plants, so demand response virtual power plants, as the development of IPPs, right? So we are building at Voltalis VPPs like IPPs, in the sense that we are an EPC, an engineering procurement construction party. We are operating and maintaining the assets that we've been building. We are financing them, so we are raising project finance debt to put together those capacities. But we are also the technology OEM underneath, and the platform, the AI platform and the IoT platform and the cloud computing platform that we are using is a proprietary from Voltalis. So I think at the end of the day, the challenge, I mean, is a change of scale. The world needs scale when it comes to demand response. And what we should think about is the way to achieve that kind of scale. So number one, financing is important. We need finance, and there are going to be millions, if not billions of euros to be found to build those virtual power plants. There's a technology challenge. I mean, at Voltalis, we do believe that automation is key, and we've been building a platform that is automating not only the construction, but also the operation of such large capacities and its scales. And there's also, and this is the elephant in the room, a regulation question, a market opening question, because at the end of the day, to sustain such kind of big investments, you need to have a line of sight on revenues for independent aggregators. So there should be a price put to flexibility and a way to monetize the flexibility that has been built, whether it is through the wholesale market or through any other kind of scheme. But in Europe, and in France in particular, and in the UK soon, the wholesale market is opening. A wholesale market gives some depth and some good line of sight on what the revenues that can be generated from flexibility, from demand response by aggregators like us. This is a key enabler for building large capacities.
Voltalis has a very specific solution. Tell us a little bit more about that, because it's quite unique.
Indeed. I mean, Voltalis, as you understood, is not only a developer of capacity, but also a technology builder. So we've been developing over the last more than 15 years a very unique proprietary platform that is a combination of IoT, cloud computing, advanced algorithms, AI, and also connection to the markets in an automated way. So we have connected, as of now, more than 1.5 million distributed energy resources, devices or appliances, or heaters, coolers, EV charge points. But it can be also producing assets like PV inverters or generators or whatever it is distributed. And we are collecting data day in, day out. More than 200 billion data entries are collected since the inception. So just to give you the scale of the thing, and we are operating in daily activation for on all markets.
Can you give us more detail or perhaps some case studies that you would be able to share with us just to illustrate?
At Voltalis, in a nutshell, we make electricity consumption flexible for the benefit of residential and commercial customers. In the meantime, we use the flexibility provided by the users for the stability and the security of the power grids. So focusing on residential and commercial customers, and let's take a residential use case for instance. So at Voltalis, we are equipping households with some IoT devices that are Voltalis devices. We make smart dumb appliances, so we will connect our IoT to a heater, a cooler, an EV charge point, a water boiler, a heat pump, whatsoever. And from there, we can pilot the consumption in real time and ensure a satisfactory level of comfort. We guarantee comfort to our users. We optimize their consumption. Therefore, we make them make savings on their bills, saving on their consumption, and all that for free. So the value proposition of Voltalis is we are going to equip you for free. With that, we guarantee your comfort, your thermal comfort. You're going to make savings, average 15% saving. It can be more, it can be slightly less, but 15% average. So there's a significant value proposition. On top of the savings, you are a good grid citizen because the flexibility that you provide, the micro flexibility that you provide, is going to be aggregated with flexibility coming from other users. And this will contribute to the decarbonation of the grid, to this grid security and the grid stability. And this is a win-win-win. It's a win for the users, it's a win for the power grid, and it's a win for the planet.
I love how you say that. It allows you to be a good grid citizen. And what I'm getting from the conversation that we've had, and also some of the research, is that that is increasingly important to consumers. It's just that knowledge that they are actually contributing to flexibility or the stability of the grid at the end of the day.
Indeed. It's a real team sport. I mean, everyone, each of us can contribute to the grid stability by the way we consume, by the way we save energy, by the program we participate to. Everyone at the consumer level can contribute to the grid stability and therefore to the energy transition, because we had, as we said earlier, the grid stability and the flexibility is an enabler of the energy transition.
A team sport indeed, which is a great segue into my next question. How important are strategic partnerships to actually achieve the scale with these kinds of smart devices, Sebastian?
Partnerships are the core of what we do. Voltalis is having more than 500 partners. That can be business partners, OEMs, social landlords, private landlords, councils, different types of communities, housing associations, you name it. Partnerships are super important in the sense that it is, number one, the point of making real this contribution of the community to the entire society and to the grid stability, to this aggregation of flexibility. So that's the collective thing, right, that is behind the partnerships. But it is also a more tactical way to access to people. When you build a virtual power plant of distributed energy resources, there's distributed in it, right? So we are equipping millions of appliances that are spread across hundreds of thousands of different sites being households, being commercial sites. So at some point, you need to get in touch with individuals that need to get to know what is your offering, what is the value proposition, what can be their contribution. So partnerships is also are also a manner to reach out to people and evangelize and bring the solution to them. At the end of the day, what we are doing at Voltalis is democratic, right? A large scale means everyone, from rich people to vulnerable people. I mean, everyone deserves to be equipped with such kind of solution and contribute and make savings and leverage the technology that is provided by companies like us.
Indeed, and doing so in a way that, like you said, involves the whole community, but certainly with clear benefits to the whole community, which is what we've seen through the discussion and how you've described what Voltalis is doing.
There's a benefit for the entire community. I think you're absolutely right. I mean, there's an immediate benefit for the participants that are going to make savings. There are benefits for communities, take a council or social landlord that is improving its ESG score because the emissions will go down, because the energy is going to be saved, and collectively it is tangible and measurable. But also it benefits also to people that are not participating, so to the entire community, because the more we put demand response online, the less the spot price is. The more the power grid is decarbonized, so the less emissions, and so on and so forth. So the benefit is collective, and a community of participants is positively impacting the entire community that is connected to the grid. So that is a beautiful project.
I do have one final question, and that is, Voltalis has an objective of deploying 10 gigawatt capacity in Europe by 2030. If I'm not mistaken. How are you tracking on these ambitions?
So, I mean, very simple. I mean, Voltalis, as of now, is having a virtual power plant of 800 megawatts. We've got 1.2 gigawatts under construction, financed. And so we have a line of sight to 2 gigawatts just in France by 2026. We've been raising more than 200 million euros of project financed for the construction of this extra capacity. We are developing in the UK as we speak, and we do think that the UK can be as big as France at the horizon of 2030. And there are going to be new countries that are going to be open in between now and 2030, and therefore the 10 gigawatt objective is very tangible and very, very near. In the meantime.
So a bullish outlook for the future, indeed. That is very exciting.
It's a bullish outlook, but remember that the International Energy Agency is seeing 500 gigawatt by 2030. So 10 gigawatt out of 500 is not so bullish.
Thank you for putting that into perspective. That is indeed true. Sebastian, Thank you so much for joining me today. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you and find out more about what Voltalis is doing in this emerging space. Do you have any final comments that you'd like to share with our listeners?
I think if I have to wrap what we said, I mean, in 4 points, I mean, number one, energy transition requires more and more flexibility. And I think that should be the takeaway. And we are at a point today where I think the renewable industry was 10 years ago, right? So it's the beginning of the journey. More and more people talk about flexibility within our industry, and I do think that it will become a mainstream topic in the general population in a matter of 2 or 3 years. Number two, it's a matter of technology and automation. If you want to develop a virtual power plant at scale, you need the right technology, you need the right level of automation, and you need to have such kind of technology that can spread at the scale of millions of individual sites and tens of millions of appliances. This is a must-have. Three, people are at the center, meaning if you want to build a virtual power plant made of the assembly of distributed energy resources, so it's all in the distribution thing, you need to focus on consumers and bring them value to attract them and to retain them into your program. So the value provided, and we've been talking about in the use case that we discussed about the energy saving and that provided to people with the automation that we will bring, this is absolutely critical. And four, to conclude, I mean, if you want to scale, you need to have a robust business model that can scale within the right regulatory environment, yes, because there must be a line of sight to revenues to sustain the investments that are needed to build such kind of big capacity. Flexibility, yes, for the energy transition. Automation is key. People are at the center, and robust business models and the right regulatory environment.
A great summary. Thank you so much, Sebastian. It's been a pleasure. And thank you so much to our listeners. Until next time. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Energy Transitions Podcast, brought to you by Enlit and Friends. That's a wrap from me, Pamela Log, and our producer, Kamo Motse. We hope you can join us next time. Visit enlit.world or subscribe for more episodes.